I call the Senate Special Committee on the Arctic to order. Today is Thursday, March 5th, 2015. Let the record reflect that the time is 11:16 a.m. Legislators present, committee members present today, Senator Coghill, Senator Bishop, and myself, co-chair, Senator Giesel. Excused absences, co-chair McGuire, Senator Stevens, and Senator Hoffman. Thank you to Nancy and to Cody, who are the staff here today, helping us recording this meeting and putting it up on audio. My committee staff today is Kari. Today we'll be hearing a presentation on workforce development plans as they relate to the Arctic. We welcome Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Labor, Greg Cashin, and Mr. Mike Andrews, the Division Director of the Business Services for the Department of Labor. I'm actually going to pass the baton to Senator Bishop, who helped arrange this topic and this meeting. So, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, and the public. And I appreciate you making this suggestion last week that we have this overview here today. And I'd like to just frame the discussion just real briefly. This conversation started several months ago, and we've been talking in broad sweeps with the University of Alaska, the Department of Labor, and other training providers about developing this policy. So today, at your suggestion last week, this is the first stab at of a good broad brush overview on bringing our Arctic workforce together and what it could conceptually look like. And I think the committee is going to be presently surprised at what resources we already have in place in Alaska. So with that, Deputy Commissioner Cashin and Mr. Andrews, if you guys want to come to the table and proceed with your presentation.
Welcome, gentlemen. And you probably already know, but if you would identify yourself for the record, and each time as you switch back and forth, if you would identify yourself just by name so the recording secretary can be sure to get that accurately. Thank you. Okay. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the Special Committee on the Arctic. We're happy to be here today. I'm Greg Cashin, again, Deputy Commissioner, Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And with me to my right is Mike Andrews, who is the Director of the Division of Business Partnerships, which oversees and administers the department's, most of our department's training programs through grants. So I have to admit, I've been reading up on the report from the Arctic Policy Group, and this is sort of the new frontier for us, if you will. The department's very familiar with developing workforce plans for specific industries. We've worked with the oil and gas industry, we've worked with the healthcare industry, worked with the construction industry, and most recently maritime industry and the mining industry. So this is definitely something we're comfortable with and have a lot of experience developing through the Workforce Investment Board, which is the policy board for employment training in the state. So, and actually both myself and Mike have been directors of the Workforce Investment Board over the years. So we have a lot of real experienced staff to help with this, and we're going to dig into this issue. We do have training resources throughout the state, but the Arctic, of course, isn't new to us. But with some of the new occupations and some of the new economic development, with the opening up, warming of the poles, if you will, something that will be new for us. But for like pipeline construction and mining, we have a lot of experience pipeline training center. But I'd like to have Mike.
Excuse me, Deputy Commissioner. Let me just recognize that Senator Olson has joined us for the record.
Sure.
All right. Go ahead and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'd like Mike, if you would, like to have Mike go through the presentation, and I'd be happy to fill in where needed. But Mike's an expert in workforce development, so I'll turn the mic over to Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg, and
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members. My name is Mike Andrews. I'm the director of the Division of Business Partnerships, and I'm not an expert because there are many definitions of experts. But I do have some background. So I'm happy today to bring to you our initial look at developing Alaska's Arctic workforce based on the report that came from the Arctic Policy Council and sort of the mandate or the directive to get to work on this. So we've created a slide presentation for you to try to walk us through this, because we're really, there's a lot of different things at work here, the new opportunities, the geography, and the training infrastructure that is in place, and it gives you an opportunity to think about what might happen in the future if we can succeed at the Arctic workforce plan.
I just wanted to comment. Your cover slide, I don't know how much better you can frame it, a lead into a discussion on Arctic workforce policy, to have an offshore platform rig for your lead-in slide, especially what we're looking at with Shell and the offshore and the Arctic, and it's very fitting.
Thank you. Thank you. We had help with staff, and I'll take that word back there, because boy, if we didn't have that help. So I wanted to start out with what we found inside the report, the Declaration of State Arctic Policy Priorities, and I think you may have seen these before, but there's four of them: promoting economic and resource development, addressing the response capacity gap in the Arctic region, and that's many different types of response, particularly perhaps oil or other sea rescue response, etc. Supporting healthy communities, which is a large value inside the Arctic Commission's priorities, and strengthening a state-based agenda for science and research so that we can tap into those great opportunities and be part of the global Arctic community. The workforce development side of things, I just start out by say, in terms of trying to reach the priorities, the Alaska has decades of experience educating and training an Arctic workforce. This is not new in some senses, but what we will be doing is revolutionary, I think, down the road. It'll be very, very new in a sense. Alaska does have collaborative workforce partnerships in place to meet the challenges of increasing activity in the Arctic region, and I'll be talking a little bit about some of those, particularly when it comes to workforce development and local infrastructure. And it has substantial education and training infrastructure to support Arctic workforce development. That's not to state that we have everything we need, but we do have some fundamental training infrastructure in the northern region, and of course the whole statewide system really adds to that.
Excuse me, Mr. Andrews, just for the record, I want to welcome Senator Gardner to the meeting. Welcome.
So I want to start out here in terms of the training infrastructure, education training infrastructure, is to just sort of remind you what we sort of have already in place, including the University of Alaska and the rural college campuses, and particularly in the northern region, Nome, Kotzebue, but I would include Bethel and Dillingham and the interior, because they're all part of that system. We also have the Alaska Technical Center in Kotzebue, which has been expanded and is a great resource in that region. We have Ilisavik College in Barrow, which offers two-year associate's degrees and has a lot of courses in place, as do the campuses, that relate to other parts of the values of the Arctic Council in terms of healthy communities and other areas, as well as vocational training. And then, of course, we have Avtec in Seward, which is a key part of the department's workforce development system, and has been. The Arctic region training capacity, in my view, it has grown significantly over the past 15 years, because we didn't have regional training centers at that time. We've had campuses, but in the last 15 years, the regional training centers have been established with workforce partnerships in those regions. And most of those ROTCs, I would say every one of those, begins with employer involvement, regional employer involvement, who are the large employers in the area that can help support that. But also they tie into the local campuses, and they tie into the school districts as well through our Alaska Career and Technical Education Plan, and they become very good at training the regional and local workforce with the resources that they have. The partnerships are in place for a strong workforce system in the north because of things like the campuses and the rural training centers, regional training centers. Again, I'll mention Kotzebue again and Nome as two good examples. And Nome with NACTEC, the Northwest Arctic Career and Technical Education Center, is a very good example of the secondary side where students can get awareness of career activities and where you can implement new courses or training to meet the trending jobs in the Arctic. And the same with in Kotzebue. And those, of course, you know, are funded through the Alaska Technical Vocational Education Program in part.
Mr. Andrews, I just wanted to highlight that training center in Kotzebue. I visited it actually 2 years ago, and then again last year, and they're doing fantastic work, even with tele-education, I'll call it, with that studio that they have, where a single instructor can speak to classes in several of the communities around Kotzebue. Mm. So it's really bolstered the robust education system they're attempting to develop. It's very good.
That's great, Senator Gies. I appreciate that because, you know, it's not easy there, and that mobile delivery of training is key to the future as well. But, yeah, I've out there years ago, and now I've seen it grow, and it's just fantastic.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Olson.
Thank you. And I guess one of the questions I have, as you talked about some of these programs and institutions that are up and running, as we look at the budget crisis that we are in now as a state and see some of the budget cuts that are coming out, especially from the other body, how do you expect that to affect some of the ability to go ahead and produce people that are needed for this upcoming pipeline that's going to be here in the near future?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, that's a big concern. Of course, we need to get industry more involved, and we need to find creative ways to partner and fund training like that. But it is going to have a significant impact on our ability to deliver services. There's no doubt about that. I mean, we're already beginning to try to look at that because of what we're all facing, you know. But there are, I believe, and I don't want to, you know, kick the can over, but there's some federal resources we may be able to tap into as well. As long as we get the private sector and industry more engaged, I think we can get through this.
Good follow-up, Senator Olson?
Madam Chairman, with all due respect, I don't think that the industry, at least at this point, because of the low oil prices, is overly interested. At least my involvement or interaction with industry is that they are less inclined to go ahead and become involved because of at least in the short term, they don't see an end to some of these low oil prices that are there, and therefore they have less discretionary money to be used on issues like that. What does the state, the Department of Labor in particular, have as an alternative to what might be out there to continue to maintain and sustain the viability of these programs?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, you know, that's a deep question, and we're all struggling with that. I agree with you. I don't want to be, you know, Pollyannish about the whole thing. Employers are basically wondering the same things that we're wondering right now in terms of what they're going to be able to do and what the future economic situation will be. I would say, and Deputy Commissioner Cashin may want to weigh in here, but we haven't reached that conclusion yet. I would like to be able to come back and give you some sense of what we might be able to do, mm-hmm. but I would say from my perspective, the way things are moving right now, it's very difficult to have an opportunity to weigh in and try to, you know, maybe bring some ideas to the situation, if I may. I don't mean to.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you.
I think you've got it.
Okay.
Senator Bishop.
Just to follow up with Senator Olson's question, just a little bit along the lines where, you know, I used to be down there in that shop, so I have paid close attention, I think, to the areas that Senator Olson is speaking to in particular. But, you know, as far as an industry standpoint, I mean, the maritime portion of ABTEC has had great industry support, and that's going to be a major driver of this Arctic economy, and the maritime industry has stepped up in a big way in the past at ABTEC in kind donations from as an example, donating charts for our maritime program that was in excess of a $25,000 in-kind donation that's really went a long way to help bolster the ABTEC's mission. So there's just one example.
Good. Thank you, Senator Bishop. Yes, Deputy Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Senator Bishop, in ABTEC, actually, I was just down at ABTEC a few weeks ago, and the oil industry in particular and some of the transportation industry are continuing to provide funds to ABTEC for specific training. And actually, we had a demonstration of the ICE navigation module, which is, I don't know if it's the only one in the country, but it's the only one in Alaska. So a lot of the industry, whether it's the oil, primarily the major oil companies, are utilizing that resource. But they're also, as Senator Bishop mentioned, providing in-kind contributions as well for you know, software, if you will, for the maritime simulator. But it's so that's an example of the private sector contributing along with the public sector, for because the employers the employers know what type of training they need, so it's a win-win.
Senator Coghill, did you have a question?
Sure. I was under the impression that both the Nome and Kotzebue Technical Training Centers were significant players in the Red Dog Mine, in the shipping industry, and in the safety industry. So I think they have been pretty successful in many ways. Am I wrong?
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, I'm not familiar. I'm definitely familiar with the mining industry up at in Kotzebue at Alaska Technical Center, and there has been quite a bit of training conducted, mine core driller training, other mining occupation training, you know, for Red Dog.
What I understand, Madam Chair, is that the COSTEC is more certificate related, whereas NOM is a little longer term. And if I'm missing that, but I've heard a couple of people talk to me about it, and I know that some of the villages get to fly youngsters in for short term certifications.
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, one of the main differences. Main differences between the Alaska Technical Center in Kotzebue and NACTEC in Nome is the NACTEC is more for secondary students in high school, whereas I believe the Alaska Technical Center is both adults and youth.
I knew there was a difference. Yeah. I just didn't know what it was. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Madam Chair, just in response Senator Coghill's comment. There is a great deal of support in both areas from industry. I believe NACTEC gets some assistance from the Bering Straits Native Corporation and others, as well as I know NANA in Kotzebue and Red Dog Mine do play a big role, and they're very active in designing training and in employing people who receive that training. So those are good examples of how things can work, but you know, everybody's, you know,
hunkering down, yeah.
Doing what they can to keep things alive.
I think we're all kind of laboring under a heavy load right now.
Yes. May I continue?
Yes, please.
Okay. I was going to highlight the Fairbanks Pipeline Training Center just a bit, because it does already specialize in teaching art of construction skills through their pipeline training, focused on building large diameter pipelines for oil and gas. They do a very good recruitment throughout the Northwest for individuals who are not in those trade apprenticeship programs or in those trade unions to come in and attend that training, get the same training, and then move on up to jobs on the North Slope and in other areas. They also have a campus for heavy equipment operation and heavy equipment maintenance. It's a very busy place, but it's one of the great places to learn those skills. Also, it's connected with the welding and pipe fitting center up there that is capable of demonstrating skills to weld large diameter steel pipe that we'll see in oil and gas pipelines. Also, the University of Alaska's Process Technology Associate's degree is housed there, and that's for facility operations and legacy jobs in the oil patch, and also it does touch on the processes in mining and other areas. So that's a great connection there. Also, they offer a lot of occupational and environmental safety and health certificate training, as well as a safety associate's degree for professionals who have to work with companies that will be involved in the Arctic. So this helps workforce, and you can get these certificates also in Kotzebue and also in Nome, I believe. And also now they have a campus where they can house people to come in and attend that long-term intensive skills development.
Great. Senator Bishop.
Yes, and I'd like to emphasize that the campus housing was built with sensitivities in mind specifically for bringing elders in. There's rooms built for elders to come in from the rural communities to stay in with the students while they're in training to be that bridge, if you will, because, you know, as Senator Olson knows and all of us, you know, there's some kids that haven't been out of town much, right, and they get a little homesick, and when you bring an elder in, that's a big security blanket, if you will, for lack of a better term. So,
very good.
Thank you. The next slide, we just want to point out, as Deputy Commissioner Cashin pointed out, there are already several relevant workforce plans in place. We call them industry sector workforce plans, and they are tied to this Arctic policy, quote, create workforce development programs to prepare Arctic residents to participate in all aspects and phases of Arctic development. So that's a very broad assignment, but right now we have plans for the construction workforce, healthcare, mining, oil, gas, maritime, and of course Arctic workforce will be in there. But there are many fundamental employability skills, and there's fundamental technical knowledge that individuals need to know across programs, and then there are skills within construction or oil and gas and mining that are transportable and transferable, which help us with that workforce. And all of these are aligned with the Alaska Career and Technical Education Plan, so we have the connectivity with the school districts, secondary, also going back into career awareness in the middle school and early years, so people don't discount a career and maybe have more information about it. So we feel there's a really good foundation in place for an Arctic workforce plan. I would point out, because it's important to the Arctic Policy Council, that these plans were put together collaboratively with industry employers, educators, and trainers to meet the challenge of supplying a ready workforce today and developing tomorrow's talent. Every one of these plans has been put together in that manner. These are industry sector workforce plans that help guide policymakers, educators, counselors, and industry trainers. So they're very good tools as we try to work together efficiently. The plans create education and training pathways for students and adults to jobs and careers, and advanced learning for these Arctic region industry occupations and careers. And so what's worked out pretty well for Alaska now over the last two decades or so are these workforce plans, where we have linked the career and technical education plan for students and adults so that they can join the on-ramp at any point. They may be unemployed, but we find a way to reconnect them to the workforce through short-term training or long-term occupational training. So those are working really well.
Madam Chairman?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Senator Bishop.
I'd just like to say on that on Mike's previous slide here on the workforce plans, how they were developed, there was a lot of research that went into there in identifying these occupations, and the Alaska Department of Labor has probably, if not the best, one of the best research and analysis divisions in the United States. And this wasn't developed in a vacuum. It was using that research department working with these other stakeholders to devise these plans.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Great.
So we're getting near the end here on this. The workforce planning areas that have been identified for us to look at, critical to the Arctic region and probably the global Arctic region, emergency environmental response, search and rescue, telecommunications, maritime, transportation, ports, roads, and civil construction, and oil and gas development facility operation. That's a big menu. That's a very, very big menu. It's the state's menu, really, in a sense. So, and we're kind of all in this together, and so I feel some confidence that these previous plans will be relevant and work well for an Arctic policy plan. And then the key workforce planning principles at this point, we're just getting started. his career in technical education planning for Alaska's Arctic economy with local communities. It's very important that the planning happens locally and regionally, because that's where people are going to be impacted, and that's where your economic development is really going to occur. The next is the industry, regional employers, educators, and community representatives are directly involved in planning. That's pretty well our status quo, because they all have to be in the room and finally get to the same language. We don't all understand one another. You know, we know employers, what employers want, we think, but until we hear from them, we may be wrong. So we need to know what they have to say, as well as what's going on in the area. And in particular, as we look at the changing landscape of resources, it's critical. And we need to design training programs that are sustainable. That's going to be a big challenge. If they're not sustainable, then the plan is going to sit on the shelf, and we're not going to do much. I mean, as much as we'd like. So, and also, it's important that our planning is research-based, using the great research that Senator Bishop pointed out from the Department of Labor Research and Analysis section, and others, so we can figure out where the gaps are in training and education, where we may be able to impact those, where we're able to close those gaps, and find out, you know, what we really can do, or maybe there's another place in the state where some of this might work, like a center of excellence that does something, you know, that makes more sense. But we also, we have to have that research so that we better understand the emerging Arctic and expanding Arctic occupations. We need to know those trends. And we also need to know what's happening in other nations, in other Arctic nations, how they're addressing this workforce. And then it'll be up to the Alaska Workforce Investment Board and the department to come back with recommendations on how we address those system gaps and lay out a initial plan for developing the Arctic workforce.
So, Director Andrews, who serves on the Alaska Workforce Investment Board? Can you give us kind of a broad brush? It doesn't have to be names of specific people, but is industry at the table, education? Who composes that?
Senator Geisel, the Alaska Workforce Investment Board, I believe, has 26 members. Mm-hmm. They have to be representatives of the departments, Department of Labor, Department of Education, Department of Commerce,
and HNSS,
and Health and Human Services. Then there has to be four education representatives from local areas, secondary, post-secondary, apprenticeship. There's an Alaska Native Employment and Training representative on there, and we have business and industry. I believe the majority is business and industry, the employers. So that's the makeup. It's a very large group, but
and the governor's office.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. The lieutenant governor sits on the council.
Yeah.
Very good. It sounds very robust. You know, we were talking about private sector groups, and the Alaska Resource Education Group certainly does a lot of making kids aware of opportunities by providing teachers actually with modules on our various resources and providing them with a resource to teach the kids about our resources. So, very good. You also, Director Andrews, made a comment about, you know, the scope of the Arctic Policy Directive. I think it was near the third to the last slide. And your comment was, this really is the stuff we're working on for the whole state. And as I served on the commission for the last 2 years, a frequent statement was, Alaska policy is Arctic policy. And vice versa. Arctic policy is Alaska policy. So I appreciate that also. You're right. These industries occur all over our state. Seward used to be in my district. That's where the Sikuliak, the Arctic research vessel, will be ported, right? Mm-hmm. Despite how far south they are, lots of Arctic interest. And that's where that Arctic navigation course is also offered there at Avtec. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, Madam Chair, I appreciate that, because you're not quite sure what you're able to say. You know, you're trying to really get a focus on the Arctic, and of course, we're in the Arctic. You know, that's it's us.
It is
so
us.
So I appreciate you.
That's right.
I feel a little more freedom now. Though.
Yes, the Arctic is us. Very good. Yes. Any further comments or questions?
Just one.
Yes, Senator Bishop.
As we look at, to diversify our economy and, mm-hmm. and all the hard work that you folks have put in on this Arctic Council, a goal of mine, I mean, going back about 25 years ago when we envisioned this pipeline training center, is to be the Arctic Pipeline Training Institute of the Northern Circumpolar countries, right? I mean, we have cut our teeth on Arctic pipeline and construction, not just since TAPS, but let's go back to the fuel oil gas line that was laid from Haines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, and to be able to be recognized as a world leader mm-hmm. in that discipline, and maybe these other disciplines that now that this body and this state will be able to showcase, and other people will come here for our training assets.
I think that's a great goal, Senator Bishop. You know, the commission talked about the University of Alaska Fairbanks being the reference point mm-hmm. on Arctic research, and so certainly having the goal for the same thing for workforce development, absolutely. Very good. Any other comments, questions? Senator Coghill?
One of the things that that we find ourselves in a unique place in America is we're also having to talk as a state to international partners. So I know that many of the people in the Arctic have been part of the Circumpolar Conference. We have now America coming into the Arctic Council, and we're asserting ourselves pretty significantly. So some of these successes are things that we're going to be showing. But one of the things we need to listen to very carefully is the successes that have happened in Norway and Sweden and Iceland and Canada. And there have been some good things that have been input into us. And research is one of them. There's no doubt about it. But we're also stewards of the Arctic in that regard, since we have our first foot in it for America. So those are some of the things we need to watch. And then the other thing is probably engineering is going to become the unique challenge of the Arctic. It's different than any other place on the globe, on the polars, whether it's South Pole or North Pole. And once again, we find ourselves in that unique place of being an international, because we share some of the same interests with the Southern Pole that are engineering questions. And so as we go into our process, tech engineering is one of the natural outplays of that. So we also are the repository of migration that has probably another international look that gets us to that science-based discussion. So there's so many areas that the Arctic plays in other parts of the world that they're just not aware of. And we have our first foot in it, probably for America, but we're also, the other foot is in the international market. So just I just wanted to say it out loud.
You know, some of your comments, Senator Coghill, actually reminded me about another private sector group that's pretty active, and that's the Alaska Process Industry Careers Consortium, APIC. I've been to a couple of their annual meetings, and wow, they're really targeting the careers and trying to capture the imagination of young people while they're still in junior high, even. But identifying environmental engineers as important, all the safety folks. But we've got a lot going on in this state, and it's not all government. There is significant private sector involvement. So that's real encouraging.
Thank you.
Good. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, Deputy Commissioner Cashin and Director Andrews, for this presentation. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
So this will conclude our meeting for today. Our next meeting will be Tuesday, March 10th, and the time will be 10:45 a.m. here in this room. We're going to be talking about Arctic waterways safety. So at this time, I will adjourn the meeting. Let the record reflect the time is 11:51 a.m.